And it's 24 minutes to 9, and Gavin Steinhobel is in the house, our attorney at law, expert in property, transfers, etc., etc. Gav, I thought it might be interesting today to talk about what's been in the news quite a lot, and there's a huge warning that's being issued about hidden fees for complexes and estates in South Africa, and people buying into complexes and estates are sometimes only partially aware, sometimes completely unaware of the fact that there are various fees on top of your bond repayment fees that are recurring and mandatory, and some of them are frequent and others are infrequent, but they are there and very much part and parcel of life on an estate. Is this something that has arisen as a factor at all in the purchase decision?
I think we often, because we deal with these things daily, assume that anyone buying into an estate would understand that you're going to pay levies to the estate.
Well, it's more than levies. Apparently, there's a reserve fund contribution for special levies. There's a CSOS levy.
Yes.
And there's a municipality rates until we understand. Security amenity, insurance and repairs, diesel charge, one-off purchase and transfer costs, okay, hidden or irregular fees, legal collection and admin costs. Wow! What's going on?
It's not that mystifying. It's first of all, obviously, what's happened in South Africa. Well, let's start first of all. If you're buying into an estate, you're buying into a suburb that is essentially run by a homeowners association, and that in the light of failing infrastructure in this country and the lack of security that people have had in the suburbs, it's been an attractive choice. So you say, well, okay, well, that sounds great. I'm going to move into Simbiti or Zimbali. It's fenced off. There's security. The roads are well maintained. The gardens and the verges are cut. And it's really feels like, you know, 40 years ago in terms of living. And that, of course, isn't free. So one of the things the Homeowners Association is mandated to do in terms of all their constitutions or their MOIs is, one is they need to obviously have staff to do these functions, and they have expenses, they maintain roads, they cut verges and so forth. And then they also pay security companies to patrol and guard the perimeter. They also have electric fences and so on that require maintenance and so forth and so forth. So,
and the clubhouses and the gym. Gyms are a big one. I notice people at Valdivie are having a cadenza because the gyms aren't big enough.
Yeah,
they've got several, but they're too small. So they
I know, well, exactly right. And I mean, you know, I live in Simbiti, and you know, it's actually wonderful what's happened there. You know, it's got a golf course, it's got a bowls rink, it's got new squash courts, it's got paddle courts, it's got lap pools. You know, these are all things, these are all amenities that everybody enjoys, and also pushes up the value of your property, because when you're a resident there, you can participate in all of these different subsections. Yes, and it does come at a cost, and that cost is a monthly levy, and once a year your HOA will sit down and say, well, you know, let's budget for the year ahead. We're going to need, for argument's sake, 30 million rand to run the show, divided by the number of people that own properties there, and that's your levy for the year.
Yeah.
Now,
this is on top of your rates and taxes and your...
Yes, yeah, you'll pay rates and taxes to the municipality, but like everybody else, you'll get nothing back for that. But at least your HOA is providing
you... little faith.
But at least your HOA is responsible and gives you something in return for... It gives you security and an environment to live in. So those levies are obvious. I mean, you know you're going to have to pay them. And if you do bind, I do still, it mystifies me, but you do occasionally get people who go, what's this? And you go, well, you're going to be in a homeowners association, which can't run on thin air. Yeah. It requires financing. Now, what a lot of the HOAs do, one is your CSOS levy is a compulsory levy. It's the government that decided, well, a lot of people are living in homeowners associations or in bodies corporate where you've bought into a sectional title scheme, and a lot of disputes occur. And rather than the expensive litigation that occurs when a homeowner has a fight with the HOA or a sectional title owner has a fight with the body corporate of the sectional title scheme, instead of dragging that off and wasting magistrates and judges' time with these things, we'll create a tribunal and that tribunal will hear these matters for free. And so that tribunal does exist. I believe it works. And that is a tiny little fee that every single HOA and sectional title owner has to pay. If I told you it's $100, then it's it's something in that order. So it's not really something. It's inconsiderable.
Is that just added to your monthly?
That's compulsory. The government has said that.
But how does the owner of the property pay it?
You pay it on your levy statement.
Oh, okay, so yes, that just comes in and you okay.
So then also what CSOS requires is that, that act says that if you've got a body corporate, for instance, you have to put down a certain amount every year to cover contingencies that may arise that you're not insured for or that you're not ready for. You know, for example, with the looting or the rioting or, you know, you've got that contingency.
Or your property being washed away by storm, as in Umklotin. Goodbye. Whole house disappeared.
Weirdly enough, suddenly there it's gone. So
it's not funny. Yeah. It's just a kind of ridiculously cynical observation.
And I see nobody's ever been held to account for that. But anyway,
it's coming. There's a huge lawsuit at the moment.
I believe so.
Yo.
I see that some of the local residents have even been cited as co-defendants because they themselves are being accused of not having their drainage correct. But we're digressing now. The truth of the matter is that there's a contingency fund, a stabilization fund, they call it, in HIA parlance, where the HIA over-recovers on the levy front to deal with contingencies. Like, for example, we've got a golf course and there might be some catastrophe or wash away of a few greens or something like that, and then we've got the money just to replace them. So there are those costs. But generally, and the trend has been, I've seen for the last 10 years, that in all your sale agreements, almost without exception, if you're buying into a sectional scheme or an HIA, there is in the schedule, at the front of the contract, they'll say monthly levy. All right. Now, the only real unknown that could occur, because those are disclosed, is there might be a special levy. Now, a special levy gets raised by the, and you're trying to avoid raising special levies by having the stabilization fund, so that you don't have these fits and starts in levies, and you suddenly got the special levy, and then you haven't, and so you can have a reasonably flat sort of levy contribution. But it does happen on occasion. Poorly run bodies corporate, for instance, that haven't, set aside for painting, might come to the end of their 10 years and the place requires a splash of paint, and that costs a lot of money. You know, you're looking at about 15,000 to 20,000 rand a unit in terms of cost. The body corporate will then raise those funds by raising a special levy and saying, listen, guys, we have to paint. We don't have the money for it. So everybody has to chip in the same.
And what happens in the event of someone saying, listen, I don't have the money?
That's not a competent defense. if you're in a body corporate or you're in an HIA situation, you understand that you're part of a scheme.
But you have those obligations. Not having the money, can you be sequestrated? Can you lose your property?
Well, that the body corporate, once it raises a levy, you've got a legal obligation to pay it. And if you don't, then the body corporate has a claim against you. So the nice thing from a body corporate point of view and also from an HOA point of view is that no property can be transferred without a levy clearance from the body corporate saying, yes, this person is up to date with the payment of their levies. So they've got the perfect catch-all. So a body corporate should never have unrecovered levies. They might have levies in arrear.
But when the property is sold,
they get paid first because there will be no transfer without paying them. And HOA is also, if you are in an HOA and you take out your title deed, you'll see that there, for example, for Simbiti or Zimbali or whatever, it'll say that the owner of the property agrees that the property will not be transferred to a third party without the consent of the HOA, and the HOA will not consent if you're anywhere in arrears with your levy accounts.
So it's a fairly
self-cleaning system. Works really well. HOAs and bodies corporate over the longer term, don't write off money. So it's actually a brilliant way to manage things. I mean, it's much better than a municipality. And so,
if one was hypothetically to suggest that they put a fence around Bolito, that we put a fence around Bolito, declare it an estate.
Well, you can do that, hypothetically, or parts of Bolito. Well, you can. I mean, there are in Johannesburg, there are quite a few of these gated communities where they've just sort of they've gated off the road. But that means every house in that area have agreed to this.
So
and they've all had their title deeds registered in such a way that they're all part of a homeowners association.
So that is
you
a
don't
way
need
of
a fence around you to be a homeowners association. Oh. It's just basically a cooperative of homeowners who say, look, we don't trust the municipality to keep our precinct in the condition that we would like it to be. So we'll take that on ourselves.
Okay.
How do we do that? Well, we form a collective and we all chip in.
But that, of course, doesn't mean that you no longer pay levies to the municipality.
No, the municipality will always have the right, the statutory right, to raise rates against any IRF or any sectional unit in its precinct. So,
do they do that with the estates as well? Do they say, no, we're going to reevaluate your property in Simbiti or Simbali, and we think it's worth a lot more right now?
Of course
now.
They do, yeah.
And,
yeah,
the, and then
yeah,
they
yeah.
increase the rates.
No, we're the same as, if you're in an estate, you're exactly the same as somebody in the suburbs.
Okay.
The roll comes out every year with the valuation roll.
So you,
every
you
single
can't,
property in...
You can't insulate yourself from
No, you are exposed to the expense, you know. But I mean, everybody has that expense, and we all get nothing back for it. So we're all at square one there. It's just that we do have an additional expense, but in return for that, we do get a service. And so, yes,
see, this is why
it is expensive. I mean, you know, if you think about it, you know, you could have a fully paid up property and still have, you know, an overhead of that property of about 10 or 12 a month, you know, if you start factoring in rates, levies, and all of that. So
that's the reality.
That's the reality, and that's what you pay for. But, you know, I don't have a front door key.
Ah.
You know, we go abroad for a few weeks and come back, and the house is open.
Still there.
The domestic comes and goes, and there's no fence around my house. And, you know, so these are all things that you pay for.
Which is why Franz Cronier made the interesting statement last week that irrespective of what happens government-wise, you know, if you are fortunate enough to be in a socioeconomic bracket that is enjoying life currently in a comfortable manner.
That was a really good talk. I really enjoyed listening to it. Yeah.
Did you agree with him?
I did. And I also thought something he said about South African business that I really, you know, rang true for me. He said, you know, we've got massive chain stores and we've had unstable electricity and they've got all these big fridges and things to run. And they just adapted and they made their own power and they sorted out the problem and they sort of state-proofed their businesses, which, you know, he says, in America, they look at it and they go, wow, I don't know if we could have done that, you know. So we've managed to be entrepreneurial but also to really be excellent at adjusting to circumstances, and that's what South Africans do. We've almost kind of expect the worst of the state, you know, and we plan accordingly.
And it's very refreshing that, because then it takes the fear factor somewhat out of the picture and says, well, you know, let's look at the worst case scenario. If you are fortunate enough to be in this socioeconomic bracket, you will carry on.
Of course,
regardless,
of course.
And I mean, continue to enjoy a marvelous life.
Everybody says the same thing, and that is that you can't beat the lifestyle that South Africans lead if you're fortunate enough to be in the productive economy.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, that is true. I think you're actually reckless if you don't state proof yourself in some way, that you don't rely. And we've been wonderful as South Africans. I mean, we don't rely on the SAP. You know, we'll phone our local security company first when we have an issue.
We don't rely on state
hospitals because we know that you're probably less likely to come out of there alive than if you just stayed at home. You know, we don't rely on state education because we know it's rubbish and we pay for private schools. So we've kind of inured ourselves against all the vagaries of our state, and that's understandable. What I would love to see is that Ballito has its own municipality.
Well, you know, we used to.
We did used to, because it just, I mean, it's obvious to everyone that we pay, you know, hundreds of millions in rates every year, and it goes off, you know, north of us, and we get and we don't see anything for it, you know, other than incompetence and lost plans and, you know, and corruption. But we don't really get anything for it. And I honestly think if Ballito was run by Ballito people for Ballito people, it'll be a great municipality.
Is that something that is worth investigating? The possibility?
It probably is, Dave. But, you know, when somebody like me shoots their mouth off about this, I end up doing all the work. So that'll be the last time I mention it.
Yeah, you see. There it is. Well, that's all it is for today, Gavin Steinhovel, attorney at law. Always a fascinating conversation, Gavin. Look forward to catching up in a week's time.
Yeah, fantastic.
This will be up as a podcast. If you've missed the gist or you would like to hear it again, you're most welcome to listen on demand. That's the way we roll. The morning show continues.